Hi there and welcome. A strange voice here, Jerry Usher, joining Debbie Giorgiani. Haven't been on the show this whole week due to seminary obligations, but so blessed and happy to be here with you. It's EWTN Radio, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. And I know, Debbie, the listeners, our Take Two family, have had some great shows they've contributed to in the last several days, and I look forward to the same thing today.
We've had a lot of calls and first-time callers, which has been so wonderful, Jerry. And today, we're going to expect the same amount because you guys are interested in the topics that we are introducing this week especially. And this topic is very, I think you have to take a few minutes to think about it, but then you'll be able to go back in your mind on a time when you experienced heartache or loss or tragedy. And it took you a while to find that joy again. So that's what we're talking about. When did you find that joy again? How did you come back from a really difficult loss or experience? How did you maintain the joy? Were others supportive of that? Was the church supportive of you finding your joy again? We want to hear from you, and you don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you are listening to the sound of our voices, we are a live call-in show, and we expect your participation because we depend on you and your lived experiences to help all of us. The number to dial, Jerry, is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, a topic like this really should touch upon every one of our lives, really, as we think about it, because life is beautiful, it's wonderful, it's joyful, it's great, it's an awesome gift from God, as John Ed Williams always talks about, living life, you know, the abundant life. But those hard moments come along, those difficulties, the losses, the tragedies, maybe a relationship that you had really depended on that kind of fell apart. Maybe it was the loss of a spouse or a child. Maybe you lost your home. Home in a fire. I don't know. We're just talking about any kind of really tough experience that really kind of punched you in the gut and left you kind of down and out for a while. But then we want to hear, you know, kind of how and when the joy started to come back, you know, because we really, like we say on the show all the time, what you share is going to benefit others who may be in that same place right now. So tell us when you rediscovered joy following a tragedy or a different difficult experience in your life at 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
And Matt is ready, willing, and able to answer your call. Michael's at the controls. Pedro's on social media. Jerry, we can wave to everybody. Hi, guys. Get your chats going and put them, your comments on how you were able to find joy again. Put those in the chat so we can really share with others. We do have open phone lines for you. We already have a call screened and ready to go, Jerry. So let me give the number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. How did you find joy again after you experienced something that was really difficult? Okay, tell us the story.
All right. Well, you want to get started?
Yes.
Let's get started with Michael.
Absolutely.
Who is in Saratoga Springs, New York, watching on YouTube. Hello, Michael, and everybody watching on social media. Welcome, Michael.
Hello there. How you been?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I want to take this short topic, and I want to bring up another thing. And to me, when I saw this topic come up, finding joy again, I really can't have to express this in a line that is basically a recitative from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. All friends, not these sounds. Rather, let us sing more pleasant and more joyful things. Now, you might ask, what did Beethoven get behind that? Well, our friends, not these sounds, if you take a look at it from a Catholic perspective, it's basically to kind of state that the our friends, not these sounds, is basically the noise of the world and the sins that we commit. But when you go to the second half and not these, rather let us sing something more pleasant and more joyful, that's where Jesus comes into play. And you heard the whole acronym, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's basically the theme of joy. That's where I'm coming from on that.
Wow. So, Michael, did this kind of experience come to you, this realization, this awakening, if you can call it that, through some kind of a really difficult experience that you went through at some point?
basically, how my life has kind of gone at this point, that you can't really find life unless Jesus is part of the equation. And the fact that when people try to put Jesus out of their lives, all they're going to run into is a dead end.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know, Debbie, Michael's talking about something that really is a part of all of our lives, music. You know, and there are different, of course, different genres of music and so forth. And he referenced a piece by Beethoven. And I think so many times we can be lifted out of either shallow things that we're, you know, holes that we're in, or even some deep holes that we're in with at least using music in part to help with that.
Well, yeah. And Michael, you picked a piece that's a classical music piece. And, you know, they say that especially in classical music, it elevates the mind. It actually can take you to places outside of what you're experiencing. So it's very powerful. Music, I mean, we know that. We know how powerful music is, because it prompts people to feel, you know, happy and sad and depressed and even motivated to do good things, even sometimes urged to do negative things. Music has that piercing part to it that reaches deep into our hearts and into our souls. So I just want to thank you, Michael, for bringing that up, because I will tell you that it was interesting. My dad was very big into classical music. His birthday was yesterday. He would have been like, I don't know, 99 or something like that. But he was very big into classical music because it always would lift his spirits. He had a very stressful job, you know, obviously raising, you know, 6 kids and being in insurance. And classical music was what did it for him. And Michael, thank you for bringing that to our attention. What do you say, Jer?
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I could just say, Debbie, that a couple of times in my life when I've gone through periods of pretty deep depression, music has played a huge part of that. You know, some friends of mine suggested just listen to worship music for an hour or two a day if you get a chance. And it's not an immediate fix. It doesn't, you know, solve all the problems. But it really does, when we come out of ourselves, you know, like you were kind of alluding to, and really lift our minds and hearts to God and praise and worship Him, that can help in all circumstances. So thanks again to Michael for the call. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. When did you rediscover joy following a tragedy or a loss in your life?
About finding joy again on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And what does that mean? It means that when you've gone through some really hard things in life, and you just feel like, wow, I just can't seem to experience the joy for life and just maintain that sense of joy throughout the day. And then all of a sudden, something sparks you, or a person comes into view, or you have some, you know, interior revelation of thinking, you know what? I do need to hold on to joy. I do need to focus on Jesus and trust in Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the joy starts coming back in. And it's a beautiful thing. So if you have a story to share like Bianca and Leo, please jump in and join this fine group of callers at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And Jerry, before we get to the phones, I just wanted to share about this wonderful Mother Teresa quote apron. On tomorrow's feast of St. Teresa of Calcutta, you can enjoy an apron in a fun design that keeps the saint close to you. This white apron features a quote from Mother Teresa: if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. It's made of 65% polyester and 35% cotton twill, and one size fits all. 2 7-inch wide pockets on the front make it easy for carrying your recipes, your phone, or other important articles. It's available right now at EWTNRC.com. Free standard shipping on online orders, $75 or more. Standard shipping applies to the continental U.S. only, so use code FREE at checkout. And I've always said this, I know it's September, but this is a great time to start your Christmas shopping, and please visit EWTNRC.com.
All right, and please join us on this program. The ability, the opportunity that you have to really impact your fellow Take Two family members is cannot be overstated. So please, if you've been through a heartache, a difficult time, a loss, a tragedy, and maybe you just it took you for it, maybe you thought you'd never really experience happiness, joy, peace again, and then finally, as Debbie was saying a minute ago, it all kind of fell into place, and you were mm-hmm. able to have this huge exhale and go, oh, you know, life is good. Life is okay, yeah. You know.
You found yourself laughing again.
Yeah, share that. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986. All right, Leo, hang on. You're right after Bianca, who is in Rancho Cucamonga, California, listening on iHeartRadio today. Hi, Bianca. Welcome. Hello, Bianca. Are you with us? Well, Leo, maybe.
Hi, yes, I am.
Oh, there you are.
Good
okay,
morning.
Good. Thanks for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. It's my first sure. time calling, so I figured I'd keep the train going of first callers here.
Thank you.
Oh,
so
thank you. Yes. Go right ahead.
So, right when I, you know, I was doing the dishes right now, and I heard this topic, and I said, I just felt called to share my story, because I'm sure that there's a lot of other people that have probably struggled with this type of grief, and I was fairly young when it did happen. I was very lost when it happened, and hoping to share my story and maybe help anybody along the way. So when I had a stepdad who was in my life since I was about 2 years old, and unfortunately he battled depression and ended up, losing his life to it. It was a very difficult time. I was in college at the time. I was already going through a hard time in college. And for years after, I remember just crying and feeling no joy, feeling guilty to even laugh or continue to live my life. And he was in my life since I was 2 years old. So he was, you know, another father to me. And I remember my dad is a strong, devout Catholic. And he always told me, Bianca, you know, you need to let his soul rest, but pray for him. You know, pray for him. That's what you can do. And I always remember just feeling the most distance from prayer, the most distance from God at that time. And there was one day where he sent me a video by Father Chris Alar. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I have ever seen, you know, anything from Father Chris Alar. And it was called After Suicide, There's mm-hmm. Hope for Them and for You. And it was a talk that he gave at the Marian, at a parish, I'm not sure where, not in California, though. And he just spoke about the importance of praying for their souls. And at my age, I knew purgatory existed, but I didn't know our role as, you know, on earth here. And I believe it's called the church
militant.
I don't know if it's militia.
Militant.
There you
militant.
Go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Church militant, yes. And our role in that. And I remember watching that and just crying. And from there, I started to pray and use my Holo app, the mm-hmm. different prayers that he had recommended.
Good.
And ever since then, there was a relief. The grief is not gone. It's always there because it's a reality of my life.
Mm-hmm.
However, the heaviness, I felt that God released me from that and allowed me to be happy and live my life while I continue to pray for his soul. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to share that I found joy through and peace through, you know, maybe not having all of the answers, but realizing that I didn't need to have them all, but just one, and that's to continue to pray for their souls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's Bianca. So grateful that you called today. I know Debbie is as well, because
I have the prayer book out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll put your stepdad in the prayer book, and you and all of your family. But this is so important, because as depression and anxiety and brain health issues people struggle with more and more, increasingly it seems like with every passing day, we can that grief can be combined with a sort of despair for their soul, you know, if those, you know, people who die from suicide. However, as Father Chris Alar mentions in that video, and we know very well now with from the church, divine mercy, Jesus, God is outside of time and space. He does not exist in a certain time and a certain place, but he is kind of this eternal now, this eternal present moment. And so as Father Chris was pointing out, and Debbie, you can comment on this too.
His grandmother, who died by suicide.
Yeah, his grandmother. Yeah, so we can ask God, going back to that time, you know, prior to their death, and we can pray for them. We can pray a Divine Mercy chaplet as if we were at their bedside. And God, in his mercy, God cannot, I say this and I'll repeat it till I'm dead, God cannot refuse a prayer that we offer to him through the passion of his son, Jesus, because that would be to deny his own essence and his own charity. So, I'm glad that Bianca called, because this is going to help a lot of people, Debbie, I think, today.
Absolutely. And I just want to say, Bianca, thank you for praying for your stepdad, because, you know, I feel this too, Jerry, that your prayers can have an eternal difference for him. And so it's so important that we take on that responsibility, that privilege, that, you know, we can actually make an intention to put the effort in prayer for those people we love that have passed, whether they died of a natural death, they died by suicide, or any other way. But Bianca, you play a special role, and your dad, you know, shared that with you. So it was very, very, I thought that was very important that your dad shared that with you. Now you have that relationship with your stepdad, so your prayers definitely will make a difference. That's the way our good Lord works. So I just want to say thank you for praying, because a lot of people, they try to move people in the past, or they try to forget, but by you sharing your story and saying, no, you're stepping up and praying for him, that is what we're all called to do as the church militant. So I'm so glad he introduced Father Chris Alar's story, because he came from a personal experience with his grandmother dying by suicide. And I just want to say thank you to you for taking on that role of praying for your stepdad. What do you say, Bianca?
Thank you. First of all, I mean, it's beautiful to hear those words from, you know, I hear it from friends or family, but I don't have a lot of Catholic friends and even Catholic family. And it's incredible to have a resource like this, like EWTN Radio, the Hollow app. I mean, for me, you know, being young, I'm 29, I'll be 30 next week, and I have two young children, two young boys, and, you know, now what I do and every choice I make, I pass that on to them. And something that I love about our faith is how selfless we're taught to be. I mean, through the saints, the humility, and learning about, wow, we pray for not just people here, but also for people, for their souls. I mean, it doesn't get any more selfless than that. And that's one of the things that I love about our faith and about the church. And I thank both of you for bringing up this topic, because I'm sure, and I hope there's more callers here that are coming in, because the more we share our stories in that vulnerability, I do feel like there's just so much strength and power that, you know, the saints have showed us, and Mary and Jesus and God is seeing everything. So thank you for also bringing out your prayer book and for adding my stepdad to your prayers.
Absolutely. But you got to call us again. You said you were a first time caller, and we're your friends. So definitely check in with us. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
You thank too, you. Bianca. Thank you. What a beautiful soul, beautiful spirit she has.
That is a powerful story.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to continue along here. We're talking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It's your show. Call in. We're talking about finding joy, peace, happiness, enjoying life again at some point following a tragedy, a loss, a very difficult experience. Maybe share how long it took you and who or what was helpful in you returning that sense of joy to your heart. 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. And as promised, we'll go to Leo next. Leo is listening on Sirius XM 130 as he drives through Massachusetts. Hi, Leo. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm calling. I haven't found peace yet, but I'm working on it. My sister died. My baby sister died 2 years ago, and I go to this my church a meeting one night a week in Massachusetts, and it's for people that are grieving the loss of, you know, brother, sister, parents, grandparents, or whoever, but it's been really instrumental for me. But I also, before that she died, I go to a prayer meeting on Monday night. They have it every Monday night. And that's where I really feel my being. But thank God that there's so much to be offered out there in the world, that, you know, and in the churches, that can help people. So
Right.
Well, my story, so, and I miss her.
You should miss her. You said it was your baby sister. So obviously you must have felt very protective of her. She was your little sister. So it doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the age that she passed. It's still your sister. And of course you're going to miss her. She's part of your family and you've grown up with her. But Leo, I just want to thank you so much for using the resources at the church for grief and bereavement sessions and classes and groups, because a lot of people wait too long and they fall into a real sadness that they have a hard time getting out of. So you're still, 2 years, you know, you can't really put a time frame on how long it takes to grieve. You know, some people it takes 6 months, some it takes 5 years, some anywhere in between. It really depends on the person, the personality. And so I'm just glad you're with a group, a supportive group that you can process through this. The one thing though, Leo, I just wanted to share is that I put your sister in the prayer book. If you feel comfortable giving us her first name, please do so. And then also, if you could let us know, was she a practicing Catholic? And the reason why I say that is because, you know, you know by your faith, right, that when we move on, we are not ending life. Life is just beginning. So she is alive now, more in Christ than she ever could be on this earth. And that's the beauty of how we what we get to look forward to. So tell me, sir, if you feel comfortable giving us her first name.
Sure, no problem. Her first name was Marie.
Marie, oh, beautiful. And was she a Catholic?
She was a Catholic, yes.
Yeah, and so I think you said yes. Did I hear yes, Jerry? I couldn't quite. I was clipping out. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It was clipping out a bit. Okay. So then you know that. So then every time you go to church, Leo, you know this. Every time you go to church, she's right there. She is right there with all the angels and saints. I mean, if she's in purgatory, we pray. We always pray. We always pray for all souls that have departed. Okay. But the good Lord is where we are so alive in Christ once we get out of this world. And so the beauty of it is it comes together for all of us as Catholic Christians at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So use that time so in such a precious, intimate way to remember your sister, Leo. And I know someday you will probably have a smile on your face and you're going to realize she is in an incredible place.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she is. And she was a real jolly, you know, fun person. And when she passed away, I still read some of the remarks that they made about her. You know, no one liked her, and she was just incredible. She took in young family mothers with children, and she was just really unbelievable. But, and I thank you for your time today, and I'm just going to keep on going along. But I keep her in my prayers every morning as I say the rosary.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, good.
We
very
always
good,
should pray for the deceased. Always. Never stop praying, because God applies those prayers and they'll always benefit us as well. So it's all these degrees of glory, right, Jerry? All these degrees of glory. So we always want to pray for those that have departed, no matter what.
Leo, thanks for the call. Sounds like your sister was an amazing woman. Reminds me of my sister who I lost about 7 years ago. Yeah, amazing, amazing woman. And her cancer actually brought her back to the church and to the Lord. So God is so very gentle. Thank you, Leo. Be safe driving out there. We're going to get a really short pause here. And then we have Tina and Ron and Al and Lee and an open phone line for you. We're talking about finding joy again after a loss, a difficult time, a tragedy. 833-288-3986 if you want that open phone line.
about finding joy again after a major setback, a hardship, something, a loss, something that is really was traumatic or shocking for you, and you kind of lost that joy for a while. And how did you get it back? What happened to you? Did a certain person come into view? Was it a certain homily you heard at Mass? We want to hear your story. So we're going to get to Tina next, Jerry, but I wanted to share with all of our listeners, if you are listening to us on the Guadalupe Radio Network, your EWTN radio station needs to hear from you next week. The Guadalupe Radio Network will be airing their fall share-a-thon starting Monday. So if you're listening in Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Virginia, Washington, D.C. or anywhere, please support your Catholic radio station. And just a heads up, I'm going to be at the 1 o'clock Central Time hour of the Guadalupe Radio Network Share-a-thon. So I do expect all the Take Two family to show up strong, because you know how I feel, Jerry, when there's no phone calls. I need those phones ringing.
Yeah. Well, Guadalupe Radio Network does too, and so do all of your Catholic affiliates. So wherever you are, be very generous, not just with your prayers, but with your financial help to keep Catholic radio going strong. Okay, Tina is listening, holding patiently in Northeast Ohio, listening today on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Tina.
Hello, Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, welcome.
My story, I'll just begin right away. There's a little bit of a prequel to my story, and I'll share that. It came about many years ago when I was praying, Lord, I want your will, not my will. Your will, not my will. And then I had to admit the fact that oftentimes when the most difficult things came along, I was praying, Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away, you know. And so I had to laugh at myself, but I also had to realize that, you know, accepting his will can be a little challenging at times. So I prayed and I asked that I would not only just accept his will, but that I would accept it with joy, that I wouldn't just be like, oh, okay, Lord, this is your will. Oh. So that's been my prayer for many years. And so anyway, recently, a few months ago, I was informed that I have a rare acute form of leukemia.
Oh.
And it was pretty shocking. It comes out of the clear blue. And so my immediate response was, I wanted to call my friends. I wanted comfort. Mm-hmm. I live alone. And so I'm just about ready to call one of my friends when, the still small voice was like, talk to me, please talk to me. And so I quieted down and I started just focusing on Jesus, focusing on our Lord, and seeking what he wanted me to hear at that moment, the words he wanted to speak to me. Mm-hmm. And so in that moment, all of a sudden I just was struck by the fact that this was his will for me. This was his plan. This was the path he was preparing for me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't easy. It was going to be a cross. But at the same time, he gave me a sense of, I will be with you through it entirely. I will never leave you. I will never leave you. And so, ironically, in the midst of this, what was scary and unknown and all of those things, all of a sudden, it was this moment that I wanted to run away from was suddenly transformed into something that I think in a lot of ways I learned from Mother Angelica, redemptive suffering. Mm-hmm. I realized that I was going to be experiencing redemptive suffering and that I was going to be united with Jesus because he took suffering. Before he came and suffered, people just suffered. But he came and he turned suffering into something redemptive, something amazing and glorious. And so he was giving me an opportunity to walk this very precious road with him. Mm-hmm. And I cannot even tell you the joy I have in my heart, knowing that even if it's hard, even though it's hard, mm-hmm. that it has an eternal impact, that he is using my suffering united to his for souls. For eternal life for souls. And in thinking that way, you can take on anything when you start thinking that way. especially if you think of your loved ones, but just anybody, right. Souls need.
And your own soul, and your own soul, Tina, your soul and others.
Oh, and my own soul, yes.
Yeah,
there's plenty. There's plenty of need there, absolutely.
Well,
plenty
you don't
of need there.
But a lot of times when people are going through a health situation and they do understand redemptive suffering, they forget about themselves. It's also about you. It's important that, you know, for you to attain, you know, that really greater glory, right, as you go through this. I mean, there's so many ways on the path of holiness, on the path to sainthood. There's so many ways. And you, Tina, have locked into this with redemptive suffering. I just want to say real quickly, I mean, I'm assuming real quickly you're Catholic, correct?
Of course, yes.
Okay.
Love my Catholic faith.
That's what I thought when you mentioned Mother Angelica. Okay, but Tina, Blessed Carlo Acutis, you know that he had a rare form of leukemia. He is being canonized September 7th. He go to Blessed Carlo Acutis. They're very active once they become canonized, fully canonized. He's always been active before, but there's a heightened sense of activity with these newly canonized saints. He shared the same thing, and he maintained the joy throughout. So you've got a friend right there, an additional friend, a heavenly support right there, Tina. I'm sure you realize that with Blessed Carlo.
Hallelujah. God's perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I would up with him. Totally. I would get a prayer card. I would have it blessed. See if you can get a relic. Do whatever you can do. And I would bring him into your journey because he is amazing. Absolutely amazing. But when you said rare form of leukemia, I'm like, oh, my goodness. Blessed Carlo needs to be on the scene for Tina.
There we go. So thank you. Yes, thank you, Debbie. Mm-hmm. Such wise advice.
Mm-hmm. It is. Beautiful. Tina, you've got a heart of love. You understand what love really means. The world today really misunderstands that very important word, but you know what it means to be able to see the needs of others in your own suffering and offer that for them. That is, of course, Christ-like love, and you have really tapped into that, Tina. So we applaud you for that, and we're going to keep you in our prayers, and we know that you're going to do so much spiritual good for a lot of people. So keep going, keep walking that path.
Yeah, well, it is an honor when we finally realize what God is doing with our simple little lives. It's an honor, whatever He's chosen for us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank Absolutely. You, Tina. Yeah, I put you in the book, Tina. Keep us posted, please. And we're journeying with you because we believe in the power of prayer. Thank you, Tina. We're going to move to Dallas, Texas, where Al is listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Al. Welcome to the program. Al, are you with us?
Hi.
Yeah, go right
yes,
ahead. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. First time caller. Just listening to your program and just reflecting on my faith journey. Just over a year ago, we lost our daughter to cancer. And she fought it very courageously over 20 months, 21 months actually, and lost her battle. And it was difficult, very hard, and we continue to miss her, obviously. But I think, you know, to find joy or happiness or whatever you're looking for, you got to first surrender. You got to surrender to and embrace the trial that you're going through. Otherwise, you're not going to get through it. For me, it wasn't so much. I don't know if I have found complete joy, but what I have found is peace in it. So that's what we have gone through, and it's been difficult because she was a single mom and we're raising her kids. And it's been hard, but with our parish community, our church community has been wonderful. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have gone through it. I think through our trial, other folks have gained strength from watching us just embrace our trial, embrace our grief.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah. Well, Al, the fact that you, what you just said right there is such a big component in all of this, how people have learned about dealing with grief and loss and suffering from your example. That just says what kinds of people you and your family are. You know, you really are Christ-like in that, in that way. And we're very, very sorry for your loss. Obviously, we'd love to put your daughter in the prayer book. I'm sure Debbie has her in there already. But, you know, cry. You mentioned surrender too. You know, the supreme example of surrender was our Lord on the cross. He could have called upon legions of angels and stopped that at any time. So, we have that as our model and our guide. And God bless you, Al. You and your family. For what you've been through. Debbie, you've got the prayer book out there, I'm sure.
I do have the prayer book, Al. If you feel comfortable giving us your daughter's first name, because we like to pray by first name, but God knows who your daughter is, whatever you prefer.
Yeah, her name was Mel.
Mel, okay. One thing, Al, I just want to say, you're 1 year into this loss, and you're now taking care of her children, and so you've got a lot on your plate. I mean, please, I know, I'm sure you've got, you said you had parish support. Just please take your time. You and your wife, your family, take your time. Be very gentle with yourselves, because parents are never supposed to bury their children. Okay, it's not the way it works. When we think about having families, it's not the way it works, and so that's why it feels so painful and so difficult, because it is not part of the way we viewed our future. So please take your time and be very gentle with yourself. And I would, at this moment, with your daughter passing, I would go to Our Lady, go to the Blessed Mother, because she knows sorrow. And this is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. Go to Our Lady, lean on her, Al, and help her comfort you. And thank you. And God bless you for raising your daughter's children. You stepped in and you are keeping your daughter's legacy alive. It is so beautiful. And yeah, Jerry just typed this over to me. I felt the same thing. Your grandchildren are going to see strong role models on how to handle loss, how to pick up, and how to move forward. And there's so many things that can be taught along this journey. So we're just going to be praying that abundant blessings and eventually abundant joy will come your way, Al, because you're right in the middle of all this grief.
Yeah, the kids are doing good. They're doing great. They're very stable. I mean, they're very centered, you know, in their faith as well too, and that's what's been a blessing. They're great kids. We have no issues there. But yeah, it's just surrendering was really the toughest part of this in the early days. Mm-hmm. And we had to do that early on, my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
I probably had more difficulty with it, you know.
Sure.
Trying to plead and pray, but you know, sometimes the way I look at trials, you know, it's just it's an opening, you know, it's an mm-hmm. opening, and it's a gate we have to go through sometimes to
mm-hmm. yeah,
that Lord puts in front of us so we can gain trust in Him and rely on Him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've had to do that, you know, grief. It's tough, but it can be mm-hmm. it can be beautiful at the same time, because it's all the unexpressed love we feel, you know, for our loved ones.
Yeah. Was she your only daughter, Al?
No, I have two boys. Yeah, she was my oldest.
Okay.
She got diagnosed at 39,
mm-hmm.
and she lasted, you know, like I said, 21 months, but
yeah.
she fought, you know, so hard to try to stay around for as long as she could with her kids and
yeah.
the family, but she finally lost her battle. So,
well, I can tell you, going through cancer, I've never met a person who was weak going through cancer. You muster up the most amazing amount of strength to try and fight, to hold on. And so, your daughter, she went through a brave fight, but now she's free and she's with the Lord and I'm sure out of pain. And, you know, you guys keep going on this side of the veil because you're all going to meet up again. You know, like the saints have said, so many saints have said, this life is a brief moment in time, this life. And our real life begins when we enter into eternity. So there's so much to look forward to. And I always keep that bigger view, Al, because if I stay about all the losses, it would get me very down. So I always focus on the real big picture. What do you say, Jer?
Al, we just want to thank you for the call, and I just want to say you have introduced the world to the world a hero, really, because people who go through that, I've never had to go through that. My sister did, as you might have heard me mention, about
and
7 years
ago.
She was
strong, too.
She was 3 months from diagnosis to death, and she never complained. She was, like you said, Debbie, rock solid and fought the good fight out. Just sounds like your daughter did as well. So these are heroes that we can look up to, Al, and you've shared with the world today your daughter, who is a hero in our eyes. So please know that.
I'll share one last thing with you, you know, that may bring comfort to the folks, you know, that are maybe going through this or facing the ultimate, right? You know, you went to hospice, and God really blessed us at the end. He gave us the gift, you know. She was in hospice for 6 days, and she was sedated, you know, under palliative care for several days. And at the very end, before she took her last, when she took her last breath, you know, her mom was singing to her. She took her last breath and she opened her eyes, you know, wide open. Mind you, she was, you know, sedated for several days. I had not moved or opened her eyes or anything. But she opened her eyes like she saw the gates of heaven, or she saw Jesus, or saw, you know, St. Michael bringing her home. And that was a great gift that we got at the end that brought us a lot of peace and a lot of comfort. So I just wanted to share that for your listeners. Because
thank you.
There is hope, you know.
Yes. Yes. Amen to that.
Yeah. The Lord is so close to the dying.
All of heaven is.
Yes, absolutely. Al, thank you. We'll let you go on that because you probably got a busy day, but we appreciate you making time in that day to be with us here on the program. Thank you so much for sharing about your daughter. She's in our prayer book, as all of you are, Al, and I'm with Debbie. Hopefully that joy will come back into your lives, and you'll be able to smile when you think about her. The tears will probably always be there, but hopefully that'll be mixed with the peace and the joy. So thank you, Al, for your call. We appreciate that. Right before we go to Ron, I just want to say, you know, we've got these canonizations Debbie mentioned on Sunday of Pier Giorgio Frassati and Blessed Carlo Acutis. They're both going to be saints. And Colin Flynn from EWTN he's traveled across Italy with a group of young men from the U.S. on a life-changing pilgrimage in honor of St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. And you can see this and hear it actually on EWTN television, but also Sunday morning at 10 Eastern on EWTN Radio, and Sunday night at 6 Eastern also here on EWTN Radio. And Debbie, I think Pier Giorgio Frassati gets a little obscured sometimes because of how popular or Blessed Carlo is, but he's as much a saint as Carlo is. So
He has a great story too. Everybody should learn about Pier Giorgio Frassati. Absolutely, I agree with you. I feel so bad because with the Eucharistic miracles, Blessed Carlo has been all over the world. That is so true. But Jerry, it's going to be exciting coverage that EWTN is going to be doing. I hope everybody tunes in. But our dear friend Ron, we're going to squeeze in a few more calls. So hang on, Laureen and the others. Ron, you're up next from LA on YouTube, California. Wave, Jerry, to Ron. Hi, Ron. Welcome.
Hi, Ron.
Good morning. Actually, I'm just on the .com title right now, so I don't have my video on. But what are the callers we had earlier talked about when going through some tough times, that classical music was kind of like a fallback for her. I find myself at times when, as I am dealing with today, my head feels like I've got a pair of large hands squeezing my brain just a little bit, more than usual, trying to control this headache that's just going out. I take some, well, I guess the best way I could do it is, long ago, I asked my Lord, you know, God, if I can do my purgatory while I'm here so that I can at least be acceptable when you call me home, please let me have that and the grace to do that traveling. Mm-hmm. I do find myself with an image of Christ on the cross, and the closer I get to him, the more I feel the pains of the wounds of the cross in all forms in one form or another. I wouldn't say I've got an invisible stigmata, but there are times when what I'm feeling in my body matches the pain points, as it were. But the fact that God loved us so much that he put himself on the cross and allowed himself to be there, that his arms are wide open for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And to feel that I'm going to be part of the suffering agent who's trying to offer up, and you know, anything I'm going through is helping the rest of the body of Christ that are still here and going through their own trials and maybe don't even understand answers or why they're going through what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But I knew that things got rough in 2018 when Mom died in July of that year. Dad, a little over 2 years later, and my body for the last couple of years has really been off there. So I'm just grateful that I can try to keep the joy that I have, my twisted sense of humor on occasion,
mm-hmm.
through
which
some of these
love.
Trials. But there are days when it doesn't go out too well.
Well, Ron, we love your twisted sense of humor, to use your own words, but we also love your example, your witness to Christ. You remind me of, you know, Jesus is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Ron, that's something that you seem to really understand and comprehend well, and I think you live that out for us. So I was mentioning heroes a few minutes ago. I don't think it would be unfair to put you in that category as well. Debbie, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ron is a, you know, I mean, and I know he's offering a lot of this for the Take-Two family as well.
Oh, yeah. You're such a brave soul, Ron, and you do keep that sense of humor, and we love that. So never lose that. That's the charm of you. I think that is wonderful. Ron, we're praying. You're always in the book, but for these headaches, especially for today, I put you in again. So God bless you. Thank you so much for weighing in on this topic. It's very important that we get full participation. And we have just a couple minutes left, Jerry, for Lorraine in Lansing, Michigan, on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Lorraine. Welcome.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Yes. I just want to tell you how much I love your show. Everything.
Oh.
You just inspire so many of us. 60 years ago, I was a new convert and a new mom. My son Mike died in infancy that year. Mm-hmm. The following year, my sister-in-law and I were sitting at her kitchen table, and she was struggling with her handicapped daughter and what to the doctors were telling her to do was really difficult. And we saw an ad in the Sunday Visitor for rosary making. And we said, hey, maybe that would give us some help to get over our depression and our struggles. So we started making rosaries. Other people came on board. And in June of this year, we celebrated our 60th anniversary.
Wow.
Making
Wow.
rosaries with hundreds of people involved. Our group has made 1,300,000 rosaries in that 60 years.
Oh
so
goodness.
What we've had, you know, we've made so many friends. It's helped our faith. And I would just say to anyone with a loss, do something in memory of the person that you've lost, because God will give you the inspiration of what he needs to have done.
He sure will. And he's done that, Loreen, with you and your associates who have made, oh, I can't believe, over a million rosaries. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share something with you, Loreen, that I shared with my brother Joe the other day. He loves to make rosaries. And I said, Joe, think about the rosaries that have been prayed on those beads that you so meticulously and prayerfully pieced together, handmade rosaries. Think of all of the lives that have been touched, the souls that have been saved, lives that have been turned around. Loreen, I know, Debbie, our Lord and especially our Lady have to be grinning, smiling from mm-hmm. ear to ear right now, thinking of, you know, they've heard and received every one of those prayers.
Yeah, it's a huge ministry. Loreen, what an incredible impact with the rosary making. Wow, this is huge. And I love that you were the very last caller to get your story in. And thank you for just the beautiful, kind words about Take Two. We appreciate it. Yeah. Loreen, you're awesome. Thank you. Oh, Jerry, what a great broadcast.
Oh, this is what you do, Take Two family. It's your show, and you made it great again, so thanks for that. Today is the Feast of St. Rose of Viterbo, and our topic tomorrow is the Real Presence. Unfortunately, I won't be on the show because I'll be receiving the Real Presence at Mass here at the seminary.
And we'll be talking about the Real Presence.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I can't be on the show on Mondays and Fridays. Other days, it's hit or miss, but just really am so grateful to be on the show today. I want to thank Matt and Michael and Pedro, the show team, all of you, the Take Two family. Fantastic. Make it a great show tomorrow, and Debbie will let me know how it goes. And until I talk to you again and you're with Debbie tomorrow, I want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. God bless you. Talk to you real soon.